And now, live from New York City via Los Angeles, California, it's time for The View from Over Here with the man who has a view for all seasons, your host, Stan Weisleder.
Well, I don't know if that was one bar or two, but this is Stan Weisleder.
Well, after two bars, it doesn't make a difference.
On The View from Over Here. Are you talking about real bars or musical bars?
Real bars.
Anyway, we're back in the studio. Malcolm Berman, of course, ad-libbing and kibitzing like he always does. And if anybody wants to see this show, which is called The View from Over Here, and our guest right now, Maria Kapp, you can tune in to, and I know I'll get it right, MalcolmDigitalRadio.com.
The .com is very important.
I know. I thought .com was the only way to do email addresses. I have mine, .us.
There are a lot of different dots now.
Different extensions, yeah. Org, net.
Right.
Yes.
But well, we want .com to find
com,
you.
Right, to find me.
If you are in a, what do you call it, the teaching industry, they have their own .edu.
.ed, yeah. Edu, and .gov.
Mm-hmm. Gov, if it's any kind of governmental agency,
could you introduce? IRS. Could you introduce Raphael
as Stan, would you pull that mic a little closer to you?
But who? Stan? Okay.
You can't hear me? I thought you did a sound check. Or were you sleeping again in the back?
No comment.
All right, good. No comment.
Could you introduce the mom?
Oh,
her
gosh.
Mom doesn't need
I'm
any
the mom?
She's the mom now.
Can I just be who I am?
I insist. Why don't you say who you
yes,
are?
Yes, I'm Maria Kapp, and I'm so excited to be with my guys. This is like I feel home. Oh. I feel at home
it
with
is,
you.
Okay.
Is this your third or fourth appearance?
This is my third time
third?
Over, what, 2.5 years now,
yeah.
I think. Yeah. So I'm Maria Kapp, Cappuccelli Productions. And you guys were so generous, and you had my daughter as a guest not too long ago.
Yeah.
With awesome music producers Automatic and Ebony Vandernier of In Rage Entertainment.
Right. Well, I don't know about them, but I know your daughter's very talented.
Oh, thank you.
How does he get a name like Automatic? What is...
Well, you know, that would have been a great story to tell. I'm going to see if I can do it justice. I'll keep it short. He shared it at one of the panels that I met him at, an industry panel. He's a prodigy. I think he plays like over a dozen instruments.
Wow.
And he plays them all by ear. And something happened around the age of 5 or 6 elementary years early where somehow he had gotten his hands on a guitar and he was at a family member's house and he automatically played what was playing either on the radio or something like that.
Automatic.
And then he went home and his mom had like got in enthusiasm, picked up the phone and started calling family members saying, my son automatically. And so that kind
it's
of stuck with
that's
him.
A, that's a good, yeah.
And
good
I hope
story.
I did that story justice, it's, but it's something along the lines.
It's a good story.
But he's prolific. He's a prolific
let's
musician.
Let's talk about Raffaella for
yes,
a sec.
Yes, sure.
Did you coerce her to go into this business? Or this is something she said, well, mommy is doing that. I want to do the same thing.
Well, you know, I have 3 children who are, you know, in this business. And just in general, overall, because I know some family parents who are very successful in this business will say they just want their children to be happy, or they some people vocally say, I do not want my child to pursue this business. But for me, it was that not that I was already doing it, because I really never did it for the kids to see such an amount or abundance of success or a lot of work. So there was no coercion. It was more of wanting to do it, and then instead of taking the kids to the soccer field because that's what they wanted to do, or to the chess tournament because they were, you know, and we had a soccer ball and a net in the backyard, and we had a chess game that we could play. But we also, I listened to music, and the piano was in the house, and the guitar was in the house.
So it's genetic.
So it's kind of like just an affinity, and then you kind of support, you want to support and facilitate whatever your kids' desires and interests are, especially if there's a level of talent that you recognize.
Yeah, I don't know about your other kids, but your daughter certainly has a talent and did not sound at all coerced into going to that profession.
Oh, Raffaella?
Raffaella.
Oh, no.
She seems like a natural.
As good as she is when you were her age?
So it's really interesting because when I reflect back to where I was, no, the answer is no. But was the raw talent there, perhaps? I think, like, the gift was there. Like, my mom handed it to me. My mother wasn't actress who has acted in over 150, you know, musical and non-musical productions on Long Island. So,
is she
still
with us?
Yes, my mother is.
So she is seeing what Raphael is doing.
Oh, yes. All the children. They're both, my parents are alive and well and enjoying what their grandchildren are doing here on the West Coast. And then I have two sisters who have boys who are equally you know, amazingly talented, and they are leaps and bounds. They're in the process of a Hollywood record deal, and they're starting to tour, and they're in a little band.
You could do your own Sound of Music with the whole family. You know, with the Trap family, you know?
Yeah, right?
Cap family.
Well,
Cap
I will family. Tell you, there is a very lovely man that I met out here a couple of years ago. He's a very well-known casting director, and he had nicknamed, because he met the girls in an acting class, and then he met me, and then he met my son, and he had nicknamed us, and we are referred to as the Von Kapp family of actors.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's
us. And you can get your mom in there also.
Yeah. So, anyway, Raphael, no coercion. Yeah. Was I as talented? You know, you always look at your kids and say, you're more beautiful than I ever was, right? You're more talented than I ever was.
I think kids generally are more talented than their parents. I think they get what they get from the parents, and then they go even beyond.
Well,
not in every case, but in a lot of cases.
Well, I know my kids are better athletes than I ever was.
Yeah. I think for me, what I've observed, especially because I work with a lot of young people who are in the arts, is that there's just so much more opportunity to tap into resources. So if you are born with it, right, like you said, better than or more talented than, but then we as parents recognize that and we make sure that we give those opportunities.
Well, we're more aware now.
Exactly. So I didn't have those same opportunities as my daughter is having, or any of my children, but she pulled. You know what I'm saying? You know when you have a kid that's like, lead the way, take me too. I want to do. So, yeah.
So you didn't have to force her,
no.
Nor did you have to open doors for her.
No, the only thing, you know, that we're doing when you say open doors is I'm a business person, so I'm taking that business skill set and producing, if you will.
Okay.
There's a production company that ensued, and, you know, I just produced the third
video. What does a producer do? Because I ask him. He's the producer of this show, and I always wonder, what the hell does he do? Tell me, what does a producer do?
If the producer works right, you don't see him at all.
Right.
It's seamless.
Oh, then we're doing something wrong, because I see you all the time.
Well, I think there are different disciplines of within the description of a producer, but the way I look at it and my experience is that there's a skill level of orchestrating in the background. You have the director who's actually the one conducting, but the producer has the relationship with that director or lead or whatever. So, it's an orchestration of many different
things. The
producer is program creator.
It's a packager.
It's a packager, money.
Putting everything together, getting
scheduling.
The money.
Scheduling. Yeah,
okay.
So it's the
now
logistics.
Now I know what you do, Malcolm.
No, thank you.
Sometimes
much.
There's writing involved as well, you know. So it could be creative, it's business, it's money.
So, Seth, what are you doing now? What would you
to
promote?
I mean, so I think right now it would be the release of the music video. So the music side and the development of what Enrage is doing with Raphaella. The song Hurricane, that's their gig. And then I executive produce the music video. So when that's released, that will be my baby.
Do they have any other songs, you know,
with her that they're
coming up or?
Yeah, well, they're putting together an EP. I mean, the goal of any development situation is a long haul. And I know that they are working with her on performance. So she'll be going out and gigging before the end of the year. Probably like your typical.
Gigging, I like that.
Yeah, you know, like Troubadour. And I think it's the Whiskey.
Whiskey a Go-Go.
Yeah,
the Sunset Boulevard type.
Do they make any money when they do that, or is it just like popcorn?
No, there is money involved, of course. With anything, they're compensated for their time and their energy, and there's, you know, percentages and that sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, I would suggest, since I was sitting next to her when she was singing, when she does a video, do a lot of close-ups, because her face is very expressive.
Yeah.
And she shows the joy of what she's doing.
Aw, that's so sweet, Malcolm, that you recognize that. You know,
it's also because she's attractive, too. So yeah. The close-ups help.
Well, that helps, but there's a you can see in a person's expression in their faces, you know, that they, yeah.
they
have
they
the
like,
feeling.
They like
and
what
you can
they
see
do.
It.
Yeah, so that's wonderful. I mean, she does like what she does, but I think what you're tapping into is the emotional connection and that it's not just a voice.
Right.
It's the body, it's the soul, it's the energy and stuff. So, yeah, I mean, Raphael's a really great actress as well. She's really good.
Does she have any preference singing versus acting?
You know, there's no preference because when you're singing and performing, you are acting.
You're acting.
You have to connect emotionally to the audience. You have to emote. You have to explain or, you know, convey an emotion of what it is you want, why you want it, and how you're going to go about getting it. That's the same thing when you're acting and you're doing a
scene. Did you ever have any, let's say, preference or maybe desire to do stand-up comedy?
That is not her thing. She has done – I mean, she's funny. You know, like there have been scenes and there's like a truth and authenticity that comes from comedy. And so she is funny. And as a child, she was very, very funny, especially in her onstage performances. But I have two other kids.
Right. That's what I wanted to ask you about before they get jealous. Tell us about them. How old are they?
So Natasha is just 21 and she just actually spent a summer at Lambda studying Shakespeare. That's right. And she is the stand-up comedian who is a student at Groundlings. They have a one-year track, and she did a writing class and basic.
If she does stand-up about Shakespeare, it could be very interesting because nobody does that.
Well, Shakespeare has, you know, a lot of comedy of errors and, you know, it has a lot of comedy to it, although she's
based on her tragedy, she could sort
does
of.
Does she want to be an actress?
She is an actress.
No, I mean when she grows up. Does she want to be that as her career?
Yes. All of my children are in this business, and there is one form. So she right now is working on her stand-up material. She just hosted at the MC'd Mike Marino, who you guys know, at the Ha Ha Club. She's worked with a couple of comedians. Actually, Chris Redd mentored her.
Hey, how do you know Mike Marino, other than you're both Italian?
Yeah. Mike came to my house for a reading. Yeah. Sometimes I do these readings as a producer, director. We always look for material. And he came to my home, and he was one of the actors that read a television script that we were
One
table
other thing,
reading.
Your daughter who was studying Shakespeare as well as
Natasha. Mm-hmm. Comedy.
Material.
Yes.
I have found by watching over the years that those actors, actresses, I know now they use the term actor.
Yes.
Actor
combine both.
Yeah.
Those that are good or accomplished comedians, whether it be in front of a camera, in back of a camera, stand up or whatever, they generally, not more than generally, almost always make excellent drama actors.
You know what? I'm going to tell you that. Natasha studied at the conservatory here in Los Angeles, the Art of Acting, Stella Adler, which is the sister company to the studio in the city. Mm-hmm. There's two of them out here, but this one particularly is affiliated with Stella Adler in the city. And most of her work was on dramatic contemporary and dramatic classical. And then, of course, she had a Shakespeare class. And then, you know, you explore anything. I think they even had an improv class and then explores. But so, yes, to just mirror, you know, Jane Lynch, Glee, she's most known for that.
Yeah,
she has her television.
Bob was on the TV series.
He was.
Yeah, oh, you didn't
I
hear
missed
that.
The whole, I didn't see oh, the whole
thing. Yeah, he played with her. He said she's terrific.
Like one of the teachers there.
Okay. All right, that makes sense. Well, so her background is in the classics. She's classically Shakespeare trained. And then she's also, I'm not sure if she comes out of UCB or Second City or Groundlings,
you know,
but she comes from a comedic.
That's another thing, too. A lot of, maybe not well-known, but successful entertainers in the music field are classically trained.
Yeah.
Like Pat Benatar was started out as an operatic singer.
I mean, Raffaella, just so you know, Raffaella was modest in her training back on Long Island. And they have, it's all across the country. Back on Long Island, there's classical.
Say that again, where?
Long Island. Oh, gosh, you're going to make fun of me.
Long Island.
Long Island. Back east on the island, they have, in New York State, it's All County Music and Skamia. And then they have what they call NISMA, which NISMA? Is NISMA. So it's like this annual training for any instrument and voice. You know, Rafaela's training and background, and even Natasha for that matter, my son not so much, but they grew up participating in this throughout their elementary, middle school, and high school years, and it's all classical training. They both studied with vocal teachers and their chorus teachers and special choir and all that stuff, jazz choir, then you go to the jazz side. But both my girls have been a part of either a madrigal. Is that how you say it? Madrigal. Madrigal singers or just classical voice.
In fact, I think the most successful ones have been classically trained, whether it be the music or the singing.
Okay. Now you extol the virtues of your daughters. Tell us about your son.
Oh, my gosh. I just had
Before he gets a complex of being a man.
No, you're so sweet. Making sure equal time on all children. So my son,
it doesn't work.
I know. My son. Well, no.
Oh, you have three daughters.
Yeah.
And I have two sons. So
I have two girls and then the boy.
And then the boy.
He's a pleasure. And he has an amazing outlook. And he's the youngest. And
how old is he?
He just turned 14. He just started high school. Oh. He's just down the road, too, at the Brighton Hall School, which is wonderful.
So he has to put up with his two older sisters. Do they pick
on
him?
No, it's the other way around. Oh. He's a prankster, a tease, and I swear he's going to win a Tony, an Emmy, or an Academy Award for his practice of teasing.
Now, I hope you have three bathrooms in the house, at least.
Yes, we do. But anyway, Stephen just worked on an amazing television show that's really funny called Making History. Adam Pally... Adam Pally is most known for The Mindy Project. Yes, yes, Mindy Project. And then Leighton Meester, is that how you say it? From, let's see, she's most known for her role in Gossip Girl? Is that?
Gossip Girl, I haven't seen
it. Is that the East Side, Upper East Side New York show? Anyway, he just had a blast.
Is it on before 9 o'clock? It's on before 9 o'clock.
I don't know. These are shows that they're not involved anymore. But Making History is a new television show coming out with Fox. And Steven is on episode 4. And he has a role in that. And he got to work with some really great people. He worked with a director that he's worked with before on Teachers. He worked on that episode, which you remember we talked about Teachers?
Yeah.
The Katie Digg girls who come from an improv background and they created their own web series. And so they got picked up for a second season. So it's all good. It's all good. I didn't get to talk about any of my projects.
Okay. Tell me about your project.
When an actor works with a particular director, does that help? Is that like, you know, having a foot in the door already?
You know, I don't really know I've not been in that room on a level of network television. I've been on the room for plays. So I can only assume that when his tape went to the producers for like this last gig, the director who's on board to direct the episode probably has an opportunity to see. And he's like, hey, I work with that kid. So
I know that guy.
Yeah,
I know that
he
kid.
Was great to
I know
work.
That
are
girl.
You working as their manager or agent? Or
no,
have you...
It's more of a business management relationship. I mean, they all have their own different level of reps. Steven has a great team.
Stage mother?
No, I try not to be. I've learned, you know, there were some lessons that needed to be learned in the beginning where that New York attitude you know, kind of had to be pulled back.
You want to be pushy.
Well, I am. People do interpret.
Well, you didn't want to be...
it is pushy, so you have to pull back. But at this
point... Like Roz Russell in Gypsy.
Oh, God. No, oh, my gosh. It's Mama's turn.
Right.
Mama's going to do... Hot. Yeah, no. We're not doing that. But so anyway, that's the deal. I know we're running out of time, but I have my documentary film.
Okay,
yeah, my documentary film, Find an Identity. We're in post-production. I'm really excited. A little bit behind track, but we got all the right pieces, all the right elements involved. I've been self-funding it. We did a mildly successful Indiegogo campaign, but that's coming to fruition and hopefully will be out and about in May for Mental Health
Month.
If
you want people to reach you, how do they...
Yes. The best thing to do would be to Google my name, Maria Kapp, and I'm easily accessible. C-A-P-P.
P-P.
Facebook, LinkedIn.
Like the cartoonist. Are you related to Al Kapp?
No, but that is how my name is spelled. And it's also short for Capriccielli, C-A-P-P-R-I-C-I-E-L-L-I.
You remember how to spell it, girl.
Yes. And that's the name of the production company. So you can also find, you know, what's going on in the world of production. So
does your husband work with you in this, or he just does his own thing?
No, we've partnered and teamed. We've together have co-written a television series that we're in the process of developing. And he is the silent partner that supports us in every
He writes commercials or commercials.
Well, right now he's a creative director in the ad business, and he's a writer.
Which agency?
Yeah. He works for Epsilon.
Epsilon.
He's down on Water Street in Manhattan.
Yeah, I used to in a previous life. I used to produce commercials for an advertising agency.
Yeah. Did we have this conversation?
Was it
Gray, Bates?
No, actually, it was
J. Walter Thompson.
Yeah.
Yes. J. Walter Thompson.
Are they still in business? I know they were big at one time.
I don't know. All of them were bought out by some British conglomerate.
Omnicom or Wonder.
I mean, this was back in the early 70s.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we've reached that time. Maria,
it was really nice to have you.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you for coming. And we have to – well, we're definitely going to follow up with Rafaela.
Yeah, Rafaela would love to come back at the release of the music video and single.
Absolutely. And we might even have you back.
I would love to come back.
We have to think about it.
We have to be a little coy, you know.
Let's talk about it in private.
We don't want to be over-anxious, you know. Shows, you know, if we're too anxious, you're going to say, nah, I don't want to do it.
We'll see where things are.
We'll see.
Yeah,
your daughter, when she's ready to do that, you know, big splurge, big splash, send us a CD and we'll play it.
Absolutely.
Even if you guys can't come back, we could play the music.
Yeah. Oh, that is so sweet.
No, actually, they say, mi casa es su casa.
Oh, and I feel at home.
That's what they say in Brooklyn.
And I feel at home here.
I thought they said that in Durango or someplace like that.
No, Brooklyn. Durango, they wouldn't say something like that.
I never heard of that in Brooklyn, anyway.
Well, you don't come from the part of Brooklyn I came
You're
from.
Damn right. I come from the classy part of Brooklyn, Brownsville.
Yes, Mr. Trump.
Okay, that's a wrap, as they say. This is Stan Weisleder on The View from Over Here.
Where can be heard on?
Why are you taking the words out of my mouth? You want to get this program? You want to watch it? You want to listen to it? Tune into whenever you like, wherever you are, MalcolmDigitalRadio.com.
These guys are great.
All right. Okay,
it's
that's a wrap.